Welcome back to another episode of our Getting to Know series here on the JD Welsh Premier League podcast. And it's that incredible time of the season, as if we haven't had enough of those already, where we're going into the JD Welsh Premier League European playoff fixtures. The four teams this year, I mean, could they be more evenly matched? Carnarvon Town, Newtown, Ballertown, Cardiff Met? There's nothing to choose between any of the four sides that are in the competition at this point. And, well, what could we do to celebrate but to record a very special playoff podcast for you? We've been catching up with one of the management team who's masterminded one of the biggest successes of this season so far. Yep, we've been catching up with Sean Eardley of Carnarvon Town. The Covies have done exceptionally well this year, I think you'll all agree, finishing fourth place, and they've brought a lot to the JD Welsh Premier League this season. And we caught up with the man behind it all. He won't like me saying that, he'll say it's a team effort, but obviously Sean's played a huge role in what's gone on there at Carnarvon this season, and we just had to catch up with him to see how it's all happened really and get his thoughts on not just his time at Carnarvon, but his journey throughout football, whether that be his playing days, his time at Llandudno. We've covered everything, well, we hope, and we hope you'll enjoy this podcast ahead of what is a very, very exciting time of what has already been a fabulous season. Enjoy. Well, Sean, you've left the sombrero at home today. Thank you very much for joining us, Sean. It's great to have you with us. Obviously, it's been a fantastic season for you, and you've had many great memories in the Welsh Premier League. But the point of these podcasts is to tell your story, as it were, and you know, we'll go a bit deeper into beyond the headlines and things like that.
Not a problem. No, thank you for having me on. I've been listening to the podcast. It's been a good listen, to be fair.
No, good. And if we go back to your playing days, then to start with, obviously, you were quite the talent as a teenager, I understand.
I wouldn't say that, mate, but yeah, I mean, I was lucky enough, you know, sort of growing up like in the Llandudno area to represent, you know, my county, you know, Conwy Schools first and foremost, and then from there, it was representing North Wales against South Wales. It's probably a similar sort of setup now. And then, from there, at the age of 15, I was given the call up to the under-15 development squad, as it was then, but we were down at Jenner Park. That was my first experience at Jenner Park, to be fair. Better than my last one, you know, I say that. But I remember, you know, pulling on the Welsh jersey for the first time. And we played Holland two games. I remember the game itself, 1-1. You know, unbelievable experience. I had a young Joe Ledley in front of me, like, on that day as well. And the year after that was the Victory Shield squad selection as well. And I was lucky enough to be selected for that. So obviously back in the day it was broadcast live on Sky Sports. I think nowadays I think it might be on sort of various sort of like YouTube channels, etc. But I mean, you know, as a 16-year-old kid, and you know, with a shaven head as well and shaved eyebrows, I managed to sort of like do my hair and get myself ready for the Sky Sports cameras. But yeah, I mean, you know, back in the day there I was lucky enough. I represented you know, Wales at junior levels, I think about 26 times, I think it was, you know, right up until the age of 19, you know, whilst I was at Oldham. I signed at Oldham when I was 12. And yeah, you know, it's always good. It's always good to look back at the scrapbooks and stuff like that. They're real fond memories, mate, to be quite honest.
And it didn't go quite the way it was sort of expected to go, though. I think you were days away from signing as a professional at Oldham when you had some bad news about your health.
Yeah, it basically started, mate, when I was around 16 years of age. I'd done my GCSEs in school, and I was offered a 3-year apprenticeship at Oldham, which, you know, obviously like I was made up with. And, you know, what I liked about it compared to nowadays was like it was the old school sort of like apprenticeship. So, you know, you were given three pairs of boots to clean, you know, from the first team, you know, various jobs like around the club. But more importantly, you know, I moved away from, you know, Llandudno to the big city in a way. And it sort of brought me on, like it certainly brought me on as a young man. But, you know, like you said, I developed a heart condition known as ARVC, and from the ages of 16 through 18, I basically had three ablation procedures, basically just a taser and some fatty tissue that was developing in around my heart. Basically, the symptoms that I was suffering were, you know, like I said, palpitations, blackout, you know, just basically like a regular heartbeat. And then in my last year was probably my most successful, well, I say successful, I'd say consistent year at Oldham. Played on the Saturday mornings for the youth team, played on the Wednesday afternoons or evenings for the reserves, and yet there was 10 of us at the time, you know, in and around the same age. In my third year, Mike Pearson, you know, the current Clandinho centre-back, and my brother Neil, we made up three of the back four. So it was, you know, it was three lads from Clandinho, so it was quite a proud moment. And yeah, unfortunately, I went for a normal consultation. It was in around March time. They'd already made the decision on offering us all 1 year professional contracts. And I went for a consultation with my doctor in Cheadle in the Northwest, who then referred me to a doctor down in London. And unfortunately, it was in a room sort of like no bigger than an office. But yeah, he basically said it's too much of a risk if you pursue a career in professional football, because quite honestly, your heart won't be able to stand up to the rigours. So you've worked sort of all your life, basically, really, and you know, your dream is within your grasp. But yeah, unfortunately and cruelly, it was snatched away. But you know, sometimes it can be a little bit of a blessing. You know, I look at it here today, mate. I'm sat down with yourself, you know, speaking about a season, you know, a successful season with Carnarvon, where, you know, on another day, I maybe could have been 6 foot under, like, you know. So, yeah, it's one of them things.
You were able to continue that sort of love affair with football, though, in a different way, because you continued playing, you played for Clandinho, you went to Australia, you had some time over there.
Yeah.
How important was that period of playing at a different level and in a different way, I guess, in terms of realigning that love that you obviously have for football?
Yeah, it was vital. I think more so that the way I look at it now, Jay, is that, like, I've always got a positive outlook on life, and you know, my family, you know, just as much as any other family, really, were very supportive of me, like, you know, from a young age. You know, certainly my mum and dad, they went through two or three cars to cart me and my brother around, like, when we were younger. And yeah, you know, like any other son really playing football, I just wanted to go out and make them proud. And yeah, I, at the time, my cardiologist offered me an ICD defibrillator to be implanted at the age of 19. And he actually footed the bill. So, you know, for that, I was sort of like forever grateful. It was quite an intimidating thought, because, you know, the defib itself is still with me. You know, it will be for the rest of my life. But yeah, you know, like you said, that enabled me to play at a semi-professional level, like at Clandinho. We were operating at the second tier, you know, now the Cymru Alliance, or the Championship, as it's called now. And yeah, I had six pretty successful years there at Clandinho. To be fair, we won the League Cup, we won the you know, the Coast Cup twice. We were so near, yet a little bit far, maybe from the league title. And you know, we lost to, we just lost out to very good teams, you know, the Prestatins, the Llangefnis of this world. You know, they were very, very, you know, sort of good teams that we lost out to. It was back in 2012, I moved out to Australia, you know, with good friend Lee Jones, he's still over there now, competed at the third tier, you know, over there. You know, we won, you know, a league title, a state league title over there, which was fantastic. And yeah, just experiencing, like, you know, a totally different culture, whether it be football or you know, a different lifestyle over there. And you know, it was unbelievable, you know, to move away and, you know, to actually live, you know, was fantastic. Returned back here in 2014, because whilst, unfortunately, like, I was over there, my heart condition, you know, became worse. And, you know, it was over there that I was told that, you know, I couldn't play anymore. So, you know, I was dealt the news at 19 that I couldn't play professionally, where I had my family and friends around me. And then I found myself the other side of the world, being told that my football career was basically over, and I was the age of 26 at the time. So yeah, it was a hard time. It was a difficult time, but it was a case of, you know, do you swim or do you sink? And you know, I think even after the news at the age of 19, you know, I had that positive outlook on life, and you know, I was distraught, obviously, but it certainly made me mentally stronger, mentally tough. And yeah, you know, I learned from that experience, and now, you know, like I said, I can look back, you know, with fond memories. And you know, the bottom line is, mate, is I'm here, I feel healthy. You know, management can be a little bit stressful sometimes, but it's certainly not running around, you know, like an idiot for 90 minutes. So yeah, I built on them experiences, and I think it certainly made me, you know, the man that I am today.
And was coaching something you ever thought you'd go into? And what about Llandudno, mate? Do you want to do it there, in a way?
I returned, and I was offered quite a, you know, quite a rewarding post within their Football in the Community programme, you know, which was basically delivering football sessions, you know, at various schools, disability schools, etc. whilst I was over, in Australia, I think at the time that I had to give up playing, I think I had three of the boys' academy sides and four of the girls' academy teams as well. So, you know, I had seven teams, you know, in which I was operating. I dipped into the under-20s team that we had and, you know, helped Joe, who's, you know, one of the best managers I worked under, for Northbridge Football Club at the time. So I got a little bit of a taste for it over there. Now, obviously, when I returned, Alan Morgan and Craig Hogg were at the helm, and I was offered the under-19s post at Llandudno. So I basically just got stuck into it, like, straight away. I remember returning the 1st of September, began my post there. I remember my first game, at Llandudno in a way, watching the first team play. They played Caithness, it was a 4-3 win. I think they played Rhyl, who at the time were a Welsh Premier League side in the now Nathaniel MG Cup. And yeah, it just gave me that little bit of a buzz. And I think it was in and around January time, the then assistant manager, Craig Hogg, I think he had sort of work commitments. And I was asked basically to take over as an assistant manager's role, and I really loved it. It was a competitive league, you know, the Cymru Lions then. You know, we were pushed all the way by, you know, Carnarvon at the time, Lee Dixon's Carnarvon, but we just had enough, and winning promotion, the year I got back was unbelievable. And then, you know, the 12 months after that was an absolute whirlwind, like in the Welsh Premier League, you know, qualifying for Europe. So, you know, I began coaching like at a young age. I actually picked up my C badge at 19. That's whilst I was at Oldham. Went through the B licence at Llandudno before I moved away. I've been on the A licence now for, you know, a few years, and it's been brilliant. Football is forever evolving, and it's good to pick up, you know, sort of different tips. And, you know, I heard the other day that, you know, as a coach, you're a little bit of a thief sometimes, but, you know, also at the same time implementing, your own philosophy and your own playing style. And yeah, you know, coaching is, like I said, mate, sometimes it can be a little bit stressful. But, you know, I look at the season like we're having at Carnarvon now, and I think the rewarding times and the good times, I think, certainly outweigh the bad times.
And as a manager or as a coach or anything like that, you've got to be ambitious. That's the nature of being in the job, I guess.
Yeah.
But could you ever have envisaged when you decided to take on the under-19s role that you did know that you'd have been involved in the successes that you were later involved in terms of the promotion and the Europe and so on?
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, mate, and, you know, I come back and I got used to the Cymru Lions format, and, you know, I had one eye on the Welsh Premier League because I had quite a few friends playing in the league as well. And, you know, with the prospect of Europe, you know, you always think, oh, you know, hopefully one day I could be managing at that level, you know. And, you know, I got my first taste of it, obviously, as a first team coach there at Llandudno, where we had an honest group of boys in the dressing room. You know, I go about it now and I feel the lads that you have, you know, they all bring something different to the table. Never sort of like manufacturing a dressing room, but, you know, just having certain qualities, like having your leaders, having your maybe, you know, you're not so sort of like loud ones, but then having your loud characters as well. And, you know, the bottom line, Jay, is they've got to be good footballers as well. When I took over here at Carnarvon, a lot of people maybe argued that it was a team that, you know, Ewan had forged, so to speak. But, you know, I remember my first meeting with them, and I basically gave them sort of like the way I wanted to go about things. Operating in the Cymru Alliance at the time, teams could come in and put 7 days in, like, you know, at any one time, but they all chose to stay. So I'm thinking to myself, well, they're sort of believing here what I'm sort of trying to carry out. And, you know, since then, I haven't really looked back. We've added, one or two sort of quality individuals going into the Welsh Premier League. I didn't want to make wholesale changes in the summer. For one, that wouldn't have been fair. But for two, I believed in all the boys' ability, you know, especially at this level. And I'm looking at it now, and at the end of the league campaign, with the fourth best team in the league, which is fantastic. But, you know, our season maybe is just starting. So, you know, going back, mate, you know, to what you're saying about envisaging, you never quite know in football, you know, what might happen. Like I said, it's forever evolving, forever changing. But, you know, you could be in a comfort zone 1 minute and then, you know, totally thrown out of your comfort zone the next. So I think in football, you've got to be prepared for that. But yeah, you know, I take it in my stride. You know, I look back to like when I was playing, and You know, one minute I was feeling healthy, and you know, the next minute my career was sort of snatched away from me. So I've maybe learned from that experience, like, in a way. But you know, I think up to now it's been a really good journey, and you know, hopefully it will continue for some time.
And when you look back at that Llandudno squad that was in the Welsh Premier League for the first season in particular, do you see a lot of similarities with this squad that you've got here?
I see similarities in the sense of the sheer spirit and the togetherness. You know, I'm in touch with quite a few of them boys still. You know, the likes of Danny Hughes is still club captain. Tom Dix, who, you know, I wish all the best, like, in his rehab. He's recovering from, you know, quite a severe leg break. You know, the Williams brothers, you know, were part of that squad. You know, there was loads, really, to be fair. And, you know, comparing the two, I'd love to see a game between the two sides, absolutely, because, you know, each one of the boys, as well as being together and united in a way, they were fierce competitors, you know, without a shadow of a doubt. And, you know, at Llandudno, when we made that top six, I was actually having a look at the league tables the other day, and, you know, your usual suspects, like your TNSs were there. Connors Key at the time, I think Andy Morrison was in charge for quite some time there. Airbus were in the mix. Newtown, Bala were obviously in there, like, as well. And they were good sides, but I think it brought the best out of us. You know, we were the underdog, we were the newly promoted side, and, you know, as far as pathways go, maybe it's exactly the same for us, Jay, at the end of the day. You know, we were promoted, we gained the top six. You know, it maybe doesn't mean anything going into the playoffs, but, you know, going as the fourth best team in the league, you know, was a similar achievement to what Llandudno did. So, you know, we're going in against three unbelievable sides. You know, it's teams that, you know, I like to watch play. You know, Newtown, Ballet, Cardiff, Met. And I think there's going to be a lot of twists and turns. You know, hopefully we might get the rub of the green, but again, in football, you never know. So, yeah, I mean, you know, going back to it, mate, I'd love to see a game between that side for Llandudno that qualified for Europe and certainly this side that are going into the Europa League playoffs, because, you know, I think it'd be a decent game. It was a decent game against them this year, you know, albeit Llandudno haven't had the most ideal of seasons, obviously, but...
They're the only team you haven't beaten, though.
Yeah, true.
Weirdly.
So you know, looking back, mate, it's, you know, that's football. That's football in a nutshell, in my opinion, because that day, the whole ties that I had with Llandudno, the ties that Ewan had with Carnarvon, you know, past players, you know, here and there. And, yeah, you know, Llandudno, we're worthy, you know, worthy of the points that, you know, they picked up. You know, they were 3-2 up here in the rearranged game, you know, after Boxing Day for a long period. And then, you know, Brad's obviously, like, had a little bit of magic there towards the end. The same happened on New Year's Day. You know, nothing between the sides, really, to be fair. Brad comes up, you know, with the goods, and then unfortunately gives away a penalty, like, a couple of minutes later. And, you know, it's two hard-earned points, but we knew as a team that we had to contend with all of the emotions, you know, and stuff like that. But, yeah, you know, two fiercely contested games, and, you know, with them coming here and with me going back, you know, it's always good to go back to your old stomping ground, and there's people there that I've got, you know, the utmost respect for. You know, I love going back there now. You know, the kettle is always on. And, yeah, you know, I was once told that, you know, you never make friends in football, like, you always make acquaintances. But, yeah, you know, Llandudno was a big part of my life when I returned back from Australia, and you know, for that, I'll be forever grateful.
And to someone like me who's not experienced it in the way you have, you know, I've watched European football on the telly all the time and stuff like that. I'm sure you did before you were actually on the touchline. How did that experience affect you in terms of actually being able to go there and say, I've coached on a European level now?
Yeah, it certainly it improves your appetite, mate, that's for sure. When the draw came out, I remember being in work with a couple of boys there in the community, and we were fixed, like, to the screen. And when Gothenburg was drawn out, phone was pinging away, like, you know, with the lads and stuff like that. But I remember going over there, and, you know, certainly working with Al and Hoggy, we wanted to be as professional as possible. We went over there, you know, I remember walking in the hotel, and massive welcome to, you know, Llandudno, like, at the time. And, yeah, you know, that the liaison officers, like, from Gothenburg were absolutely different class. You know, they made it so easy. Remember walking into the stadium for the first time, and it was stuff that sort of dreams are made of, like, to be fair. You know, we had lads that were in full-time work, you know, we had joiners, we had plasterers, you know, myself, like, working in the community, you know, and things like that. And yeah, walking out to the stadium, walking onto the pitch and that for the first time, you know, I think rightly so, we had our iPhones out, you know, taking pictures and things like that. And I think the bit that sticks with me, and, you know, if any of the boys from that team, you know, listen to this podcast, and they'll agree, they'll be nodding their heads, was I never forget standing in the tunnel before the game. You know, obviously Liverpool have like the You'll Never Walk Alone, Everton have the Zed cars, Gothenburg had their particular song, their theme tune like playing over, and even talking about it now, you know, the hairs on my neck, you know, sort of stand up, and that was unbelievable. Walked out, I was sort of like at the back of the lads, Hoggy was out like in the dugout itself, and it was a noise of like 20,000-25,000. I think there was only 6,000 there, maybe 6,800, I think, something like that. But the noise was absolutely incredible. And we were okay. We started the game all right for the first 20-25 minutes. Got a couple of safety touches in, like as I'd say. And then, they scored after, I think, 25 minutes. And, we ended up losing the game 5-0, I think it was. But the boys were absolutely outstanding. I think Gothenburg at that time were maybe 10-15 games into their domestic season. We'd had a couple of friendlies against Baller and Connors Key, but obviously we were in our pre-season. Obviously coming back then, and playing at Nanporth, we had just under 1,000 there. You know, fantastic experience. You know, Gothenburg had made a couple of changes to their lineup, but still brought in good quality. And, you know, I've got to mention, you know, Danny Hughes, you know, Clandin knows all-time leading European scorer. And like I said, you know, I hope he's listening to the podcast. But that was a great moment, like, for someone like Danny, because, you know, over 20 years ago, or maybe in around 20 years ago, you know, he was playing for my dad's junior team, you know, with Mike Pearson, with Neil, my brother. And yeah, to see him 20 years later, you know, score in Europe, what a fantastic moment for Danny, you know. And yeah, you know, like I said, mate, it's an experience that I'll never forget. And, you know, I found myself here now at Carnarvon, you know, two games away. To take them into Europe would be absolutely unbelievable, but we've got a lot of hard work ahead, that's for sure.
And I mean, I'm particularly interested in the point you made about the occupations that people in the team had there. I mean, people look at tonight's game, Ajax against Tottenham, and say, that's the romance of the Champions League, you know, Ajax against a big team like Tottenham.
Yeah.
But the real romance of it surely has got to be that your team of joiners and electricians against the full-time outfit.
Yeah, you know, 100%. You know, you can look at it, mate.
And I don't say that in a disrespectful way either,
not at all, because even the way the league's going now, mate, the way the domestic league's going now, you know, with TNS, listen, they're a class above. You know, we like to think that we've been in competitive games against them. But, you know, I'm good friends with, you know, Chris Sargent, Chris Marriott, and I often speak to them, like, at the end of games, and they love the Covey Army coming over, and, you know, hopefully the league is going in that direction. You know, I know the attendances have been under scrutiny this year. You know, obviously we haven't suffered, and I think for seasons to come we won't suffer. You know, the Carnarvon fans are passionate people. But, you know, Connors Key going down the same road, you know, getting near enough full time. And yeah, you know, I look at it tonight, Jay, you know, night before training, lads have been in work all day, you know, whether it be a 9-5 or whether they've worked earlys and had like the afternoon off. And yet we're preparing now for what is the biggest game today, you know, against Cardiff Met. And like you said, you know, skipping chapters, and never usually like to skip chapters, but if we were to ever qualify for Europe and draw maybe a Scandinavian team, or, you know, teams maybe like in Belarus or anywhere like that, or even Ireland, you know, where they're maybe 10-15 games into their season and then they're in a full time, it's hellish tough. Of course it is, mate. It's, you know, we're a part time outfit, and you've got one or two lads here that will train tonight and then go on to a night shift somewhere. So it is tough, but, you know, one thing I'll commend my players for, we like to prepare as meticulously and professionally as we can, and, you know, even little things. I think the work that they do on the training ground and the work that they put in the 90 minutes, it's second to none. I think the biggest thing now with the way the Welsh Premier League is going is actually off-the-field discipline. You know, the games on Boxing Day, the games on New Year's Day, I probably, as much as yourself, mate, I enjoy, you know, a glass of wine or two, like over Christmas time, of course I do, and, you know, one or two wines to bring the new year in. You know, these are semi-professional footballers, there's absolutely nothing stopping them, you know, indulging themselves. But, you know, there's a game on Boxing Day, there's a game on New Year's Day, there's a game on the 5th of January, and, you know, you're looking at it and you're thinking, if there's that top six spot to play for, we've got to be as meticulous as we can in our preparation. So sometimes it can be a little bit difficult, because on one side, I've got to appreciate that they're semi-professional footballers, but on the other side, they're human beings. They've got families as well. But, you know, I'll commend my players in that sense, because I think that the preparation has been excellent before every game. They look after themselves. You know, I pay sort of special credit like to Gaz Edge. You know, he's 35 years of age, and I won't call him a veteran, because I know he had a go at one of his mates, I think, or maybe the commentary the other week for calling him a veteran, but he's as fit as they come, Gaz. You know, looks after himself, you know, off the field, and he's been one of our big performers this year, not just on the field but off the field as well, and he's great to have around. And I'm thinking, you know, if Gaz can do it at that age, then what's to stop maybe the lads that are maybe, like, you know, young 20s, mid 20s doing that? There's absolutely no excuses in that sense. So yeah, I mean, to play against a full-time team in Europe, you know, bring it on, because we're going to have, you know, if we ever get to that stage, we're going to have about 600-700 covies following us, like, all over Europe, so they can be the 12th man and they can urge us on. But, you know, like I said, we're not, certainly not looking beyond Cardiff Met at the minute. You know, it's going to be extremely tough, and all, you know, it's full steam ahead for that game at the minute.
And obviously, candid, no, there was a couple more years there, and then you came here. Mm. How did that come about, and why did you think that that was the right time to make a move to a club like this, who was at the time was in a lower division?
Yeah, it's a good question. Good question. You know, I was good. I'm still good friends with Ewan Williams, and we were on the same coaching course together, and he was itching. We'd often have like a little bit of a laugh over a beer, you know, to come in, and yeah, it was one pre-season where I felt I wanted a new challenge, really. Had a chat with a few of the boys, like in Clandon, in the dressing room. You know, had a chat with Hoggy, had a chat with Alan. You know, I went with their blessing. Carnarvon at that time, you know, we were in the same league as Rhyl, obviously Portmaddock, Airbus were going for it, like, as well. So I thought, you know, the league at the time was a good standard, and we wanted to really push. I think Airbus and Rhyl at the time had just been relegated from the Welsh Premier League as well, so we sort of went slightly under the radar because Airbus and Rhyl were being favoured. So I thought, yeah, you know, come in. I knew quite a lot of the boys anyway. I played against them, I coached against them. And yeah, you know, Ewan brought me in, and then I'll never forget, it was the week of the Welsh Cup game against the Bury, who I think we played in the second round. Ewan contacted me on the Tuesday. Al Morgan had lost his job at Llandudno, and Llandudno had approached Ewan. And he said he was going to speak to them on the Thursday. We had the Welsh Cup game on the Saturday. But before that, he told myself and Fish, like my assistant there, he'd be making a move and making the jump. And he put my name forward for the management post. So we made the announcement to the boys. And then I remember, I mean, my first game away at Airbus. Then we played Hollywell, who were also, you know, favourites and on top of the league there. Played Hollywell. And then we played Barry in the Welsh Cup. So it was like, welcome to sort of like management in a way. But I remember the 3-3 draw at Airbus. We beat Hollywell here 4-2, and then we beat Barry 2-0 in the Welsh Cup. And to be fair, mate, I haven't looked back since. I've learned week by week, you know, being a manager. My management team and my players have been absolutely different class. And yeah, that's basically how it come about within that period, at the start of the, it would have been the 17-18 season, yeah. I think. So haven't looked back since. Learned various things about players, about my management team, about myself, and I'll continue to do so. You know, I'm a young manager, and you know, I want to learn week by week. So yeah, it's been a good ride up to now. Has its ups, has its downs, but you know, that's football, you know, at the end of the day.
What have you had to, two questions really. Were you ready for the change from an assistant to a manager, and what are the differences between the two in terms of how you go about it?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I love being a number two. You know, I loved it, like, under Ewan and myself and Fish. I think from the days under Ewan, that's probably where we built our relationship, maybe as a manager and assistant manager. You know, just bouncing ideas and bouncing different things. It was all a bit of a blur. I remember attending a board meeting on the Monday, then purposefully I got the lads in twice. Had a meeting with the boys on Tuesday and Thursday, basically, to iron out, you know, any any concerns in which they had. And then I was sort of thrust straight into it like an Airbus. But the difference is, you know, you've got your obvious responsibilities, you know, speaking to board members, speaking a little bit more, you know, with the players. Don't get me wrong, as an assistant manager, I did that as well. But, maybe getting to know them more, maybe on a little bit more of a personal level. I think maybe as an assistant, it's good to know, but you don't necessarily need to know, like, in a way. You know, that's down to the manager, I feel, and, you know, what makes players tick, basically. So, there is a little bit more responsibility in that sense, and you're able to maybe delegate a few jobs like team management team. And, you know, at that time, I had Fish, I had Mike Innes with the goalkeepers, and Reece Jones. And at that time, I couldn't have asked for a better supportive management team, like, in a way. But it's been great. I mean, you learn week by week about yourself. You learn week by week about players. And, you know, like I said, Jay, I think it's what makes them tick. Because I feel as though a happy player is a good player. You know, whether it be family ties or family commitments or taking it easy because they have, you know, a big job commitment or something like that. Because, like I said, I go back to my point that they're semi-professional footballers, and you've got to understand that, and you've got to appreciate that. But, yeah, you know, like I said, it's gone with its fair few bumps, you know, along the way. Dressing room arguments, arguments at board level, it's normal. But, it's all for the better of the football club. The football club comes first. And, you know, I've got a great set of supporters behind me, you know, passionate group of people. And I'm a passionate person myself. And to be fair, we just absolutely bounce off each other, win, lose or draw. I'll be as honest, you know, sort of like with them as they are as honest with me. You know, football fans are football fans, mate, at the end of the day, similar to yourself. Everyone's got an opinion on football. And it's what makes it the great sport that it is. You know, opinions will differ, but yeah, it's an honest group. And like I said, a passionate group. And that's the biggest thing that I want to give back, is just to show that passion, you know, week in, week out, whether it's win, lose or draw.
And in terms of, you know, coming in after Ewan, I mean, I won't quote his win percentage. I know someone did on Scorio after he'd left. I think Malcolm did.
Yeah.
I won't quote it because Ewan will be on the phone telling me I got it wrong. Like
probably,
that.
Yeah. No one meticulous Ewan is, yeah.
But, you know, it would be normally sort of a challenging situation to come in after a manager like that. But in a way, you'd had your, I won't say probation, but you'd had your setting in period before because you'd been here with him for six months prior.
Yeah, I think, to be fair, Jay, I think probation is probably a fair word to describe it. Don't get me wrong, I mean, week in and week out, you look at the way sort of managers operate, and like I said, you're probably just a thief. You probably steal a couple of ideas from him, and there could be some moments where you think to yourself, oh, I would have done that differently, but I'm sure people may say that about myself. You know, some people might disagree with the way I do things, but other people might agree with certain things that I do. And, you know, Ewan, one thing I'll give you was that he, and still to this day, you know, he's awfully driven. And that's one of the biggest things I've taken from him. And, you know, certainly, you know, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, like, but certainly with what he's gone through in his personal life, I feel as though he's one of the most mentally strong people like that I know. So, you know, even to have an ounce of that mental strength will make me better, you know, without a shadow of a doubt. And, you know, even Morgs, you know, I know, you know, hopefully a few lads will be listening to the podcast, was live, breathe and sleep football. He'd speak to some of the boys coming down, like from the Wirral, about the Swedish league, about the Danish league, about the Japanese league. And, you know, lads that are playing like Lafferty did, they'll probably just look at him weird, but just absolutely relentless in everything that he did, MLS, the Australian League and things like that. So he just loved football 24/7. With myself, you know, I've said it before in the past, is that I want to make sure that our preparation for games is as meticulous. There's no stone left unturned. We like to give the players the tools. It's up to them to carry out a particular game plan. First and foremost, work hard, because, you know, there's no substitute for that. Make sure their attitude and their application is right. And then when the final whistle goes, your job is done for that week. You can enjoy that celebratory beer or that glass of wine. And, you know, that Saturday night, you know, with the family, you know, I'm sure there's people listening now that we'll have the Chinese, we'll have, you know, their pizza and stuff like that, and, you know, a couple of beers, like, with the boys and whatever. Sunday is the chill, and then Monday it's back to it, you know, it's a new game. And that's certainly one thing that I love, is the preparation and getting to know your opponents, and maybe getting to know, you know, how they work and how the managers work and things like that. And, you know, I've been, you know, truly honoured to share the touchline this year with some truly great managers, but also good people, you know, as well. And a number of them are only a phone call away from me, which has been great. Don't get me wrong, you come against them, like, you know, for the 90 minutes and you want to tear each other's hair out, but it always ends in a handshake and it always ends in a beer, you know, to be quite honest. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed that aspect, I've got to admit.
And finally, you got the club promoted at the end of your first season, or first half season in charge. Something that the club will have been desperate to do, you know, after being denied a couple of seasons previously for licensing, and then obviously Prestatyn having that great year. For you, though, what did that mean to have done it on your own, in a way, to have, you know, been the guy who led this team?
Yeah, you know, I'll firstly say about, you know, the pre-season in which that we had to use was a really strong pre-season. We started off maybe a little bit indifferently. We got a fantastic result down at Penryn Coch. Then I remember the game here against Holyhead, where we went down to 10 men after maybe 20, 25 minutes and played like 70-odd minutes with 10 men. But, you know, even then, it was an unbelievable effort. I remember having a really good September. I think we had a number of games here in midweek where I think we scored like 15-odd goals in like two or three games, kept clean sheets. And then it came about, like with you, Anne. But I remember games against Rhyl here away at Denby. Denby really pushed us that day, and we're 3-1 up with 15 minutes left. We went down to 10 men in that game as well. Airbus, the first game, was a game that I'll never forget, my first game in management, but teams really, really pushed us. It wasn't easy. And then I remember going to Holywell. We were 1-0 up. I remember we had a chance cleared off the line. They equalised, I think, with maybe 15 minutes left, and we were really under the cosh from, you know, from Johnny's side that day. Anyway, we managed to get out of that game with a 1-1 draw, and I remember after that, I thought, yeah, this could be the result here that turns the season. And when it was confirmed down at Kai Suss, when we won 2-0, that was my birthday, you know, it was an excellent birthday present. But when it was confirmed that the licence was granted, and I was sort of looking at the league table, and I felt, yeah.
Had you been nervous about that because of previous years? I know you'd got it the year before, but the year before
I think it'd be normal, mate, to be nervous. But I sort of realised the work that the board had gone through, attending board meetings and things like that, and I felt, yeah, the club's in a good position here. So we got the licence on that day. I remember the chairman shaking my hand and giving me a massive hug, saying that we got it. Then we went to Llandudno Junction to win the league, I think it was. We were crowned the champions in midweek. Then we played Gresford to maintain the unbeaten record. So it was three magical weeks, like, to be fair. And, you know, we took about 500, like, to Llandudno Junction to see us win the league. Then we took about the same amount to Airbus to play Gresford, who gave us a great game. You know, Steve Halliwell is another guy that I respect greatly. I've got a good relationship there with Steve. And they pushed us. We equalised late on for a 2-2 draw. And in the 18 games I took charge in the league, we won 11 and drew 7. We got a good result against Barry in the Welsh Cup here, live in front of the cameras. We played TNS in the next round, which I think attracted 1,500 fans here. And I thought, yeah, the club's in a really good position now. And yeah, to sort of gain promotion was pretty magical. And yeah, the work started then. It was a busy summer. We had our targets, you know, sort of set out. But, you know, I sit here with you now, mate, having been, you know, the fourth best team in the league. So yeah, looking back, it was an exciting time, the promotion party, certainly. And yeah, it's been a fantastic season to date so far.
And you kept most of the same squad. I think you only added two or three players that I can think of off the top of my head. Other teams have taken the same approach over previous years. You know, I can think of a few who've done that and it's not gone the way perhaps they'd have wanted. So how tempted are you in a situation like that, generally, not specifically with this group, but in general terms, to go and bring three or four in?
Do you know what, mate? I had the same conversation with a couple of senior boys the other week, and we spoke about January, you know, having been promoted, you know, operating in two transfer windows. And to be fair, you know, I'll be honest, I'd spoken to one or two boys, you know, that maybe wanted out of, you know, clubs and a new challenge. But, you know, even speaking to the current group, they always say about fresh faces coming in and how it lifts a change of room. And to be fair, I've got to agree. Going back to when we were promoted, the lads that got us promoted deserved that opportunity. I knew that I maybe needed to strengthen maybe certain areas, but that was only to supplement what we already had. And there was lads there that were ready for the Welsh Premier League. You know, the likes of Joe Williams, Danny Brookwell, Jamie Breeze. I apologise if I got it wrong, but I don't think until this year they competed at Welsh Premier League level. But the Gaz Edwardses, Darren Thomas, Jamie Crowther, Alec Ramsey, Gaz Evans, they'd all had that experience, like, you know. I felt players such as Kai Jones and Sean Bradley, being local, would excite the crowd. Lads that I'd spoken to, and, you know, they've had fantastic seasons, the pair of them. Ross Stevens and Ben Mayer had the season at Prestatyn the season before, and they were excellent for me. So, yeah, we started off really, really well. I remember when the fixtures came out, and our first five were obviously Druids on the television here. Then we went away to Newtown, who was sort of like European vets, like, in a way, competed at that level. Went away to Cardiff Met on Bank Holiday Sunday. And then it was TNS at home, and then Connors Quay. So I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, well, what a sort of welcome we've got here, like, to Welsh Premier League. But out of them games, we picked up three wins out of five, kept three clean sheets. And I'm thinking, yeah, like, we've arrived here. January was a little bit quiet for us. But yeah, I mean, sort of going back to it, mate, I think it's vital that you bring in one or two fresh faces. And I'm not really a firm believer in ripping maybe the core of the team out and you know, bringing sort of like new boys in, etc. However, some teams have adopted that, and that's absolutely fine. The key then is gelling them, adapting them to new environments, new surroundings, but, you know, more importantly, getting them playing as a team. And, you know, we've had some excellent games here this year, and the lads, you know, like I said, you know, right at the very start, mate, I've got to commend them for their spirit and their togetherness, and just the unity, you know, in which they possess. And I can take a step back and admire the group, really, to be fair, for that. You know, and couple that with being, you know, decent footballers as well. They're good footballers. And yeah, you know, I think when we got the top six, we exceeded expectations anyway. And having, you know, I said at the start of the year, we wanted to consolidate and have a good Welsh Cup run. We've got to the quarterfinals of the Welsh Cup and we finished fourth. So we've exceeded expectations. We can go into the playoffs now, mate, and enjoy the occasion. And that's certainly something that we're going to do.
And just going to the start of this season, we spoke then and you said your expectations were exactly what you just said, you know, just to get finished 10th and then anything else is a bonus.
Yeah.
Some people were predicting you wouldn't do that. Some people thought you'd finish lower. Some people thought you'd finish higher. How much, you know, because a lot has been made of, for some reason, you've had a couple of comments about this team throughout the year from various people, whether they've been glowing or not.
Yeah.
How much as a manager do you take note of them and think, right, I'm going to remind the boys of that? Or do you not?
In fairness, mate, I mean, I'll start out by saying that social media nowadays is certainly a really, really powerful tool. And again, what I mentioned before, football is a game of opinions. Now, the people that doubted us at the start of the year, they're just entitled to that opinion, and I fully respect that. I went round
because it's logical, to be fair. I mean, just to defend those people, it's logical to say that team that's just come up is probably favourite to go down.
Jay, at the end of the day, I took the championship football in on the weekend, and people will be saying the same about Norwich and Sheffield United. Now, having watched the way Daniel Farke and Chris Wilder have gone about it, I honestly think they'll do fine next year. Certainly Chris Wilder, because I think he's on the pro license down at Newport, and, you know, a few of the boys, like, a past comment on him. Like, just looking at the celebrations recently, you know, of them singing songs and having a couple of beers and that with the boys, I certainly think that you know, whether it be the big riches of Manchester City, you know, Manchester United, Liverpool, etc. You can't buy that unity. You know, I'm not saying for one second that Manchester City and Liverpool don't possess that, but rightly so. We were the new boys on the block as well as the Netley, so automatically people are going to go, oh, they might go straight back down. That's absolutely fine. I myself as a manager looked at it and I thought, yeah, we can consolidate with this group and we're looking at a 3 or a 5 year sort of like plan. But as results were trickling in, we had a really good December. The game here against Carmarthen was a massive turning point. It guaranteed the top six. Then we went to Bala, which is a really, really tough place to go. And we were excellent in the second half. And we picked up wins, you know, we picked up a win against TNS, you know, the last team, I think, to win at Park Hall. In the league campaign, we picked up 2 wins and a draw against Connors Quay. We picked up 2 wins and a draw against Bala. And I'm thinking, we're competing against these teams here. And yeah, it, slowly but surely, I'm positive anyway, and I have belief in the boys, whatever way I go. And they have belief in their own ability, which they should. But yeah, we certainly exceeded expectations. And like I said, I don't often want to sit on the fence, mate, and say, yeah, Jay, 10th is what we want. A lot of people want to hear that, but seriously, if you're 10th and you've consolidated your place for another year, it's a good season, especially with, you know, the different monies and stuff like that coming in now, and, you know, having, or, you know, being able to, you know, being able to compete, you know, at the top level of Welsh football. It's exactly what I want. It's what the players and management want, and it's what the people at Carmarthen want as well.
And you've mentioned arriving there a couple of times. You know, you could pick out a number of highlights, I guess, from the early months of the season, you know, winning the first game, yeah, beating Connors Quay, yeah, beating Cardiff Met away, yeah, so yeah, on, so on, so on. When do you actually sit back and go, yeah, we're all right here?
I think with the domestic campaign, mate, it was after the Carmarthen game, because I haven't got the stats itself, you know, I'm quite keen on stats myself, but having looked at times in which we've gone ahead in games, I think we've got a relatively good record there. Now in the Carmarthen game we went 1-0 behind. Now the character in which we shown that day, knowing what was on it and knowing how attack minded we went that day, that was brilliant. And to sneak into the top six that day, yeah, that was a time where we could maybe sit back and go, yeah, we've had a brilliant season. Because again, going back to the point that you made, we overachieved. People weren't touting us for top six. As the season was going on, I was looking at it and thinking, yeah, we might have a chance here. But obviously taking it a game at a time. Now, when we're in the top six, obviously, your TNSs, Connors Keys, Barry, Newtown and Bala, it's another season that starts. But, Jay, it was something that we addressed at the start. It was something that, again, we didn't leave unturned. We split the season into two. The first 22 games, targeted games that we can maybe get points in, and then let's concentrate on that 22 game season before the split. Going into the split is a bonus because we've exceeded them expectations anyway. But then targeting, right, what can we get at home? Can we protect our home form? Unfortunately, the away form hasn't been the best, but you sort of, it's a little bit awkward because you're safe for another season, but you sort of want to finish as high as you can. And with how fiercely competitive the top six is, results became unpredictable. You know, TNS came good in the end, and I sort of thought that, like, anyway, because they possess a lot of quality. Connors Quay and Barry, up until maybe Christmas, end of January, were pushing and pushing. Now, you know, Barry came here, we managed to get a 2-0 win. Connors Quay came here, we managed to get a 1-0 win. Away from home, they turned us over good and proper, to be quite honest. You know, 4-0 at Barry and 6-2 at Connors Quay. However, that's how fiercely competitive the top six is. And we fully embrace that challenge, mate, to be fair. And we've loved every single game. Every single game, whether we go down to Llanelli in December, whether we go to TNS in November, whether we go to Aberystwyth. I remember the Aberystwyth game because we faced monsoons. Monsoons going down there, thunder and lightning, trees in the road. And it was a monsoon playing. It wasn't the best of spectacles. But, you know, to get a 0-0 at Aberystwyth, a cemented team, you know, a well-established team. So I remember, you know, every single game. You know, the missus can often say, oh, you know, you're sad, you like, you remember everything. But I do, because it's been part of the journey, you know. And it's been thoroughly enjoyable. And like I said, I hope sort of like the next 3 weeks are going to be enjoyable as well.
And before we get onto that and looking ahead to the playoffs, I want to touch on last week if I can, because I think, you know, we joked about the sombrero before we started, but I think that sums you up, you know, and I think that's why people have sort of fallen in love with Sean Eardley and the Covies in a way, because you are quite, you know, you are quite different in that sense. Yeah, you know, you're happy to go and do what you did and have a laugh with everyone and stuff like that.
Do you know what, mate? It's the way I am off the field, like, as well. You know, we agreed, like, you know, from the boys' point of view, there is a time and a place for it, but, you know, we've organised our end of season do in Dublin, and I was like third or fourth to pay. I think I was anyway, and I hope Kev has received the payment. But you know, we work hard, and we make sacrifices during the season, and why not have a couple of beers away with the boys? Going back to last week, you know, to have 200-250 fans there, you know, football teams around the UK traditionally have always gone fancy dress, you know, for away games. And I remember sitting down with my family and I said, oh, I think it'll be a good laugh if I did it. Because, you know, they're entitled, like, you know, to their opinion, like, as well. And they said, yeah, you know, why don't you do it? And my mum actually ordered the poncho and the sombrero for me. But I'm not putting on the front in that sense. I love a bit of a laugh. I love a bit of a joke. It's not to like earn credit or try and be someone that I'm not. That's just the person that I am. On the touchline, I like to have a laugh. It, you know, with certain people, obviously, you know, I will often buy into it, like. But it's the way I am. I like to have a laugh with the fourth officials. I like to have a laugh with match officials most of the time. I might add, you know, we might be on the wrong end of a decision, and I might be calling them all the names under the sun without getting fined, obviously. But it's the person, mate, that I am. And when everyone comes here, you know, yourself, when you cover, you know, Scorio and the FAW interviews, you know, which I've loved doing this year, you know, it's all about that identity of Carnarvon Town. It's part and parcel of the welcome, and the fact that I'm probably a few sandwiches short of a picnic probably helps that, like, to be fair. But, you know, for the 90 minutes, I like to think that I've set up a particular way against the opposition. We go out and get the results. But like I said before, mate, when the 90 minutes is over, you know, let's celebrate with a beer. Let's have a bit of a laugh, because, you know, there's more to life. There's more to life than football, you know, sadly. You know, and I draw on my own personal experience, like, in that sense. So it's the way I've always lived my life. Live it to the full, because you never know what's around the corner. I'm privileged and I'm honoured to be managing such a fantastic football club here. I've come across people like yourself, and I love, you know, speaking in front of the cameras. I don't know whether you can tell that. But, you know, I've loved, you know, every single minute. And, you know, even if we were fighting relegation or fighting the top two or three teams, I'll still have the same outlook on football, and I'll still have the same outlook on life, without a doubt.
And just to go on to the playoffs quickly, I think, I hope you don't mind me saying, I think it's probably the four most even teams that have been in the playoffs for a long time. I can see any four of you winning it.
Yeah.
And you've obviously got a good record against all the teams in there, really. But your first game's against a team you've beat twice, but even so, they could win it.
Absolutely, mate. They've got a point to prove as well, the Met. I think, I'm sure Chris, you may have agreed, I think the last 2 years, due to the demanding schedule that they have, being a university side, I think towards the end it's taken its toll. You know, only recently now, you know, with little injuries here and there, and obviously they've had the mumps outbreak, which has been sort of documented as well. It's a grueling season for them, but they're going into the Europa League playoffs, and probably rightly so, you know, for a third consecutive season. I mean, what a couple of seasons they've had, and we know the test and the task that is, you know, upon us here. You know, turning to Bala and Newtown, the performance here against Newtown a few weeks ago, and Bala, you know, was very, very good. And we've been in some fiercely contested games. And to be fair, mate, I've got to agree. I think it's four evenly matched teams, you know, tearing shreds off each other, like, to be quite honest. And I think whoever comes out as victors rightly deserves, you know, to go on and represent the, you know, the JD Welsh Premier League in Europe. But it's going to be tough. We know the task. We know the task that is set in front of us. You know, until the 95th minute down in Barry, we were playing Baller again. But you know, it's a shout out to sort of like Kane in scoring that penalty and securing us, you know, the possibility of two home games. Saturday, you know, in a week's time, mate, it's going to be mental here. Carnarvon, I think, will be closed. To be quite honest, I think we're going to cram as many people as we can in here. But Cardiff might thrive off it. You know, to a lot of teams and a lot of clubs have said like about the atmosphere here, and it's certainly one thing that we don't take for granted. The fans are expecting, they're passionate people, but they get behind the boys as well. And it promises to be a fantastic game against a well-drilled, organised side. And like I said, the bit that we have to watch is they've just come up short the last 2 years. Cardiff Met have got a point to prove. Newtown are desperate to play in Europe again. And Bala, you know, with the Welsh Cup success and historically have got a good record, whether it be the playoffs or qualifying for Europe. I feel that we're the underdogs. And I'm not just saying that to sort of like put us to the side, but you know, we're the overachievers in my opinion. We haven't experienced the Europa League playoffs, but one thing is for sure, we're going to embrace it. We're going to enjoy the occasion, but play our game, because if we play our game, you know, we're not the fourth best team in the league, you know, for a reason. And don't get me wrong, league form for me personally probably goes out the window. League positions certainly go out the window. You can speak about momentum. Yeah, I agree to a certain extent, but you know, we're preparing for a while. You know, sort of now, meticulously, and the boys are going to have an absolute buzz. You know, come that Saturday, Carnarvon is going to be absolutely rocking. So we're going to enjoy the occasion, and we're fully focused on the task ahead. That's for sure.
Whether you make it or not to Europe, would this season be your biggest achievement?
Without a doubt. Who would have thought, mate, that, you know, when, you know, like you said, I was laying in a hospital bed and, you know, my career was, you know, and don't get me wrong, mate, I'm not saying I would have gone on and been you know, like a wholesale main or anything like that, but I think I would have made a relatively sort of good living out of the game, let's just say that.
Because your brother's done well, and I'm told by someone I won't name that you were better than your brother.
Well, I might have to find out who. I'll give you that tenner after and find out who. But no, I mean, again, we go back to, you know, football being a game of opinions, and you know, my brother, you know, there's no one more proud of him than myself. You know, I'm absolutely you know, made up I knew he was going to do that, look. Sorry, viewers, we've got Gaz Edwards, my vice captain, hitting balls at windows. But no, there's no one more proud than myself in my brother's achievements, because he's faced adversity, he's faced injuries, and he's overcome them. And you know, Lincoln City, a fantastic club, and you know, I hope, you know, sort of people listening to this will sort of look out for them in League One next year. He's had a really good season, and you know, like I said, when my career was sort of taken away, you know, sort of from me, who'd have thought that we'd be two games away from Europe, crowned Cymru Lions champions, a season a bit ago now, you know, brought together the town of Carnarvon. I think again, it's a real sense of togetherness and unity, not just with the football club, but I think the local community as well. And you know, who'd have thought it? But we're going to take it, you know, game by game, and that's exactly the way we've taken this season. And yeah, you know, like I said, we're really looking forward to the prospect of a Europa League playoff game here at the Oval, and to bring European football, you know, to Carnarvon Town would be a dream come true. You know, not just for myself, but you know, certainly for the people of Carnarvon as well. However, we're certainly not looking that far ahead as of yet.
Well, congratulations on a fabulous season, and good luck to you and all the teams competing in the playoffs. I'm sure it's going to be fantastic.
Thanks very much.
We'll just finish with some quick-fire questions,
yes,
if that's all right.
Definitely. I like these.
Who's the best player you've played with or against?
Oh, wow. Cheers, Jay, for that. Wow. There's a lot that I've played with. I couldn't maybe single out one, but there's a lot that I've played with. You know, obviously, I was lucky enough to represent Wales at junior level, and Joe Ledley, Wayne Hennessy at that time. Wayne Hennessy was probably 6'7" at 14, 15, like, you know, when I played with him. But you could maybe sense then, you know, in a way, that they had something special about them. I mean, with that's a tough question. I mean, I was lucky enough, you know, from a domestic level, Rye Williams played, not the Cobby Rye, even though Rye is a top boy, but there was a lad, Rye Williams, that played for Llandudno. He represented England at futsal, but he then, I think, went from Llandudno to Rhyl, but then Rhyl to Morecambe, become full-time, and he was a blessed player. But, you know, the likes of, you know, Danny Hughes, Lee Thomas, you know, Joe Morgan, Gaz Evans here, you know, I was lucky enough to play with, and then, you know, Craig Hogg, Neil Coverley, lads, you know, fantastic, Paul Whitfield, you know, the current goalkeeping coach there at TNS. Great lads, you know, great, and we had that good sort of like dressing room vibe there as well. So, you know, them type of lads to play with, play against. We were lucky enough to play against Fabrice Mwamba for England when we played like in the Victory Shield. There was a lad, Andrew Driver, for Scotland. He went on to compete for Hearts. I think he played over like 200 times or whatever, like for Hearts. Like there and then, and I was lucky enough, we qualified, we had a second qualifying campaign for Wales out in Portugal, and there was a player there, Bruno Gama, I think his name was, and I think a couple of weeks or maybe a season later, that was at under 17 level, he was on the bench for Porto in the Champions League against Manchester United. So that's only to pick a few out, but yeah, sorry not to keep it short.
That's right.
I know you did say quick fire, but that's always a tough one, because I've had the pleasure of playing with some really good players and playing against some good players as well.
Biggest personality you've worked with?
Biggest personality. I like to think I am. Biggest personality. Danny Hughes. Danny Hughes is a bit of a joker. He's still a bit of a joker now. And we tag each other in certain things, like on Twitter. Just stupid videos, really. But yeah, Danny loves a night out. Danny loves it. Danny's good on presentation nights as well, to be fair. So, Jags, if you're listening, I've given you a shout out there, mate, to be fair. So yeah, Jags is a big personality, yeah, definitely.
Best advice you've been given?
Best advice? I was lucky enough the other week, I spent a little bit of time away with the missus, and it would be time away if football wasn't involved. And luckily, on one of the days, my brother was training for Lincoln. It was in Easter holidays, and I was honoured to be invited down by the Cowley brothers. And there was a bit on the wall, and they live by it, is that you don't lose games, you either win. We don't lose games, we either win or we learn. And that's a really good way of looking about it. During sort of playing days, 99% concentration is 100% failure. And the obvious ones, like failure to prepare, is preparing to fail. And that's what I sort of basically took into management, like, as well. So keeping it simple, really. A lot of advice recently. Things that, there's loads more, but yeah, those are the ones that I'll probably stick by.
Well, look, thank you very much again. I know you've got to get off to training with these boys. Probably start kicking more football that way. It's been great. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you very much again for your time.
No, Jay, listen, an absolute pleasure. Continue the good work, mate. And yeah, go on record and wishing, you know, our fellow, you know, sort of teams, all the best in the Europa League playoffs. We're really looking forward to it. But yeah, like I said, thanks very much for the invite onto the podcast, and continue the good work.
We're really looking forward to it too, mate. Thank you very much.
Cheers, mate.
Take care.
Thank you.
So there we are. Ain't nobody like Sean Eardley, the Covies say. And maybe we've had an insight into why there. Thank you very much again to Sean for finding the time before training at a crucial time of the season, really, to sit down and have such an extensive chat with us about his career on and off the pitch. We really enjoyed it, and we hope you did too. And then more importantly, obviously the playoffs are right around the corner, and we hope you enjoy them and are looking forward to them as much as we are. We can't wait to see how these go. As we say, you know, these are probably four of the most evenly matched teams that have been in the playoffs for a very long time, I think. and it really could go any way. Obviously, Sean and the Covey listeners will be wanting it to go their way, but so will Newtown and Bala and Cardiff Met, and let's be honest, any of those teams could come out on top in 2 weeks' time. We hope you've enjoyed the podcast, and we hope you get a chance to go down to the Oval or to Latham Park over the next few days and enjoy the playoffs as well. Like we say, they're going to be epic, so you don't want to miss them. I mean, Scorio are doing their bit, they're putting them on telly, they're putting them on Facebook for you, but wouldn't it just be so much better to be there and be catching the action live? These are going to be two great games, and then we've got a final to come the week after as well. It's just going to be awesome. Do not miss it. See you there.